Tell me your voice.
The Word of God, the revelation of God in Scripture, the Word of God, unless it is living, unless it is dynamic, unless it is active, has no meaning whatsoever. Today we celebrate the Feast of All Saints. And what this feast calls us to reflect on is that throughout the history of the world, from the foundation of time, there are men and women, old and young, strong and weak, from every spot on the face of the earth, speaking every language group known to human beings, who have become living testimony, living witnesses, flesh and blood expressions of the Word of God. Saints are nothing more than the affirmation that it truly is possible for human beings to live the truth of the gospel. That's what saints are. And today we focus on that. And what the church gives us to take to heart is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, what you and I know as the Eight Beatitudes. The first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God, is, if you will, the headline. And the other seven beatitudes are simply statements of how a person lives out that first beatitude. Now, who are the poor in spirit? It's a term that runs through all of the Old Testament and into the New Testament. The poor in spirit are those who recognize who God is and place their absolute trust in God. They are people who recognize that they are creatures, that they are not God. They recognize that all that they have and all that they are is the gift of God. And they recognize by the words they speak and the deeds they do that God truly is the center of life. The poor in spirit, they're given a name in the Hebrew scriptures. They're called the Anawim. And the person who exemplifies that more than anyone else is Mary, the mother of the Lord. In the first chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, when Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, St. Luke records a hymn and places that hymn on Mary's lips. My whole existence proclaims the glory of God. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked upon the lowliness of his servant, and from henceforth all generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me, Holy is his name. His mercy is from generation to generation toward those who fear him. He has shown might with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the conceit of their heart. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has turned away empty. He has redeemed Israel, his servant, even as he promised our ancestor, Abraham, and all the descendants to come after him. That hymn, that prayer, that exclamation of Mary is, if you will, the quintessential statement of what it is to be poor in spirit. And that's what saints are. Saints are ordinary human beings like you and like me who find ourselves in ordinary human circumstances with its fair share of trials and successes, challenges and victories, with its fair share of darkness and light. And in the midst of those circumstances, trust, livingly trust in the goodness and the presence and the power of God. And to do that very practically, you and I woke up this morning. You and I have been given this day. I didn't earn it. I didn't do anything to make it. It's totally a gift. And the day I've been given is the same day that you have been given and every other human being on the face of the earth is given. And it is the gift of God. Well, what the man or woman of faith does with that gift is they take a slice out of that gift, a slice of time. And in gratitude, they give back to God a piece of that day. That's what prayer is. That's fundamentally what worship is. It's taking a slice of time out of the day that is the gift, and returning it to God. It's non-productive time. It doesn't make you a dollar. It doesn't get you anything. It's time wasting. It's time that is given in recognition for the gift. Gerald Vann, the spiritual writer, says, "It is the time-wasting moments in life that make no money and bring no reward that makes life worth living and souls worth saving." It's a very practical thing. The saints of God were people of prayer. Every human being is given talents, is given gifts, and part of the challenge in each of our lives is the recognition of that and the development of that and the use of that. And what the saints of God have done, have once again taken a slice out of that gift, recognizing that all that I have been given, all the talent that I've been given, all that is of my personality, of my mind and spirit, of my strength, is a gift of God. And the saints take a slice out of that and they return it to God through service of one's neighbor. And every human being has resources. Every human being has material resources. And what the saints of God have done is recognize that those resources, which are the fruit of the work of my hands, are fundamentally the gift of God. And so once again, a slice out of those resources are returned to God. Returned to God for the service of others. Well, that kind of spirituality, that kind of way of living, that kind of sense of holiness is what you and I call stewardship. A steward is one who takes care of what is placed in that person's hands. The steward doesn't own it. The steward takes care of it and uses it responsibly. It's in this time of the year that the annual stewardship drive at St. Matthew's takes place, and this week I will mail to each of you on Monday a letter inviting you to pray, to reflect, and to consider what of your resource you wish to commit to your parish in thanksgiving for the gift that God has given you. But what I want you to do is I want you to take some time and pray about it. Think about it. Think about the way that you have been blessed. Think about the ways in which God has touched and continues to touch your life. And then out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving, make your commitment to return to the Lord a portion of what the Lord has returned to you, has given to you. The saints of God are simply ordinary human beings. That crowd that gathered on top of that mountain with Jesus were ordinary people. Some of them were educated and some of them were not. Some of them were old and some of them were young. Some of them were curious and others were committed. They were just ordinary people. And he said to them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who trust. Blessed are those who place their confidence in God. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Well, in just a moment, we're going to invite a child into the life of faith through the sacrament of baptism. And it's in that sacrament that the gift of God, the gift of the Spirit, first comes to us. And as the second reading told us, we are children of God. That's what we are now. Drawn into the very mystery of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. So as Brianna is baptized, I want all of us to reflect on our own baptism. And as we choose to welcome her into this household of faith, I invite you to join with me as we renew the promises of our baptism, as we profess our faith in Jesus Christ. For this is the faith into which she is about to be baptized. And so I ask you, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And is it your will that your daughter should be baptized in the faith that we have professed? Parents and godparents.